Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know where I would have been without the sacrifice of Jesus. You can say that about yourself too. Hallelujah. You know, except for the self-righteous man who assumes that he doesn't need the sacrifice of Jesus. The man Paul says at Galatians chapter 2 verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the works of the law, then Christ died in vain. There are some of us who have come to a point in our lives where we know that Jesus is all that matters. Hallelujah. That the sacrifice of Jesus is all that matters. That there's nothing we could have done to be saved. Amazingly, many of us are even very disciplined. I grew up in a Christian home where, you know, a lot of morals were instilled in us. A lot of morals, ethics. There are many things I never did even without being a Christian. Hallelujah. There are many things I never did without being a Christian. I even remember that there were times when I committed myself to fasting even without being born again. Imagine that kind of stuff while growing up. And then, of course, later in my life, I began to fast with a better understanding, fasted. Even when I didn't know much in scriptures, I followed my dad. We fasted together and all that. But you know, while growing up, even when I was not born again, all those times of Ash Wednesday, Easter, you know, Lent period and all that, we were fasting. We're not even born again. That's how much, you know, moral upbringing or religious background, that's how much of it that we had back then. But then, in spite of this all, we are not boasting in our merits. We are not boasting in what we have. We are not boasting in the kind of lifestyle that we grew up with. We are not boasting in the fact that we feel that we are better than others. I mean, the first time a friend of mine ever mentioned visiting a brothel to meet a prostitute, it was too irritating. I was disgusted. Hallelujah. It was disgusting and irritating. I was not even born again. I was in secondary school. So they had been visiting brothels and having these runs with prostitutes and all that. So he told me about it. And it was so irritating and disgusting. It wasn't because I was born again. My moral background, my moral instinct could not process how somebody would be having an affair, you know, sleeping around indiscriminately with prostitutes and all that. You know, but in spite of all that, we dare not boast in anything that, you know, pertains to us with regards to salvation. We dare not boast in anything we have done, anything that pertains to our works with regards to salvation. We dare not. Why? Because we know that salvation is beyond morals. Salvation is beyond having good home training. Salvation is beyond all those things. We know that even at that point in time when we were not doing many of the things that some of our friends were doing, we were equally very terrible. And you know, left to ourselves, we could do bad all by ourselves. We knew deep down within our hearts that we may not fancy cigarette smoking and going to club, we may not fancy visiting a brothel and all that, but we knew that the kind of thoughts we were thinking within our hearts, the kind of things we process daily, were very terrible and awkward. Hallelujah. Just like the Pharisees, Jesus looked at them and said, You change the outward, you clean the outward, the outside of the cup, but inwardly is full of death. Hallelujah. Jesus looked at them and says, you are like whitewashed tombs. Outwardly you look very sweet, fanciful, beautiful, adorned, but inwardly you are full of dead men's bones. Praise God. So we knew that we were so terrible. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, Bible says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There were many things we were capable of. There were many thoughts and imaginations that were running wild in our minds that, you know, we dare not even share with people back then. Glory be to God. So there's nobody can boast in himself. Nobody can boast in his moral perfection. Hallelujah. You know what? The condemnation that passed upon men through sin is stronger than the greatest and the best of our morals. The condemnation, the problem we were dealing with was greater and superior to our morals, to our best acts and good works. They couldn't save us. Hallelujah. That's why all our righteousness were referred to as filthy rags in the Old Testament. Glory to God. The word filthy rags, they actually speaks of menstrual clothes, a piece of menstrual cloth. So imagine how God considers human qualities, human good works, human, you know, morals. See how God considers it. It's like filthy rags. Glory be to God. So thank God for redemption. Thank God for faith in Christ. Thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus, because we know that this is the only ground of boasting in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Anyone that glories, Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 to 31, let him that glories glory in the Lord. Our boast is only in the Lord. Our boast is in what Jesus has done. Our boast is in the cross of Christ alone. Our boast is in the work of the cross. Our boast is in the fact that Jesus died and rose again. So he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Thank God for redemption. So we've been studying forgiveness of sins, and then currently we are studying concerning confession of sins. What does it mean to confess our sins? We've seen from scriptures that confessing our sins actually involves a singular admittance of the fact that we are sinners in need of a savior. And of course, that means confession is solely focused on confessing Jesus as the Christ. And in that confession of Jesus as the Christ, as the savior from sin, we have admitted our need of a savior. We have admitted that we were sinners in need of salvation. Glory to God. The lesser is included in the greater. In confessing Christ Jesus, see, a man can acknowledge that he's a sinner. That alone does not save him. But a man that acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ that saves from sin, that confession saves him without him saying, I am a sinner. Why? Because in that greater confession, he has acknowledged his sin. Praise God. And you see, that's how to confess unto salvation. That's how to confess unto salvation. To acknowledge that Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the dead. Glory to God. And then we've also seen how that for this forgiveness we have received makes it impossible, or makes it unnecessary, or makes it totally irrelevant to be pleading and asking for forgiveness on a daily basis. You fall into sin and then you are pleading that God should forgive you. It makes it unnecessary, because the forgiveness we have received is a complete forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is written in the past tense. God has forgiven us. We've seen this through the epistles. We saw in the prophets how that the forgiveness promised is a complete forgiveness. The man is delivered. Hallelujah. So today I want us to see this again emphatically from scriptures, how that forgiveness in Christ Jesus is freedom. It's freedom from sin. Hallelujah. Freedom. So when I say a man is forgiven, I'm speaking of a man that has been set free from the power of sin. A man that has been delivered from the power of Satan. A man that has been given freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. So the forgiving man is the freed man. The forgiving man is a free man. So as long as he remains free, as long as he's walking in freedom, as long as the man has liberty in Christ, he's forgiven. That's a proof of his forgiveness. Glory to God. This is how forgiveness is taught in the New Testament. It's liberty, freedom. And that's why the word remission is from the Greek word aphesis. We saw this at the beginning of this series. Aphesis. Aphesis means freedom, to be set free. It means liberty. Hallelujah. It means to release from bondage. Freedom in Christ Jesus. That is how forgiveness is taught in the New Testament. Emphatically. Even in the ministry of Jesus. Freedom from sin. Hallelujah. Luke 4:18. I'll read again. Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord, I'll read again because we've read this before. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The word liberty in this portion of scripture is the word aphesis, which is the same word translated forgiveness and remission of sins in the New Testament. So forgiveness in Christ Jesus is liberty. Liberty. Liberty from captivity. Glory to Jesus. We were all captives of Satan, captives of sin. We have been set free and delivered. We've been set free and delivered. Hallelujah. From captivity to sin. That is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 verse 1. That was the prophecy. That forgiveness in Christ Jesus is liberty, freedom. The man that has been forgiven is the man that has been set free. Look at Romans chapter 8. This is emphatically taught in the New Testament. Romans in chapter 8 verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. Romans 8, 1 to 2. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is freedom. Freedom is liberty. And, you know, this is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Romans in chapter 8, I'll start from verse 1. Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I explained this in the previous episode, what it means to walk according to the flesh and what it means to walk according to the Spirit. You may like to refer to it to get clarity. Glory to God. Now, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Have you seen again? There's something about freedom. Now, the law of sin and death in this place is not referring to the law of Moses. The law of sin and death in this place speaks of the motion of sin in the man that is not born again, in the unregenerate man. The law of sin and death is the nature of sin in the unsaved man. Let's see this. Romans chapter 7 from verse 21 to 25. Glory to God. Bible says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." I see another law. Have you seen? Verse 21. "I find then a law that evil is present with me." This law is not the law of Moses. Hallelujah. It speaks of something in the man, something in the man, something inherent as a nature in the man. Glory to Jesus. Verse 20. "Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I will do it, but sin that dwells in me." So it speaks of a nature, a principle, inwardly, inherent in the man. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So verse 21 says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me." This law is the sin that he mentions, the sin that dwells in him that he mentions in verse 20. Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law," verse 23, "in my members." That's the nature of sin. "Another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Have you seen? So this is not about the law of Moses. It's about the nature of sin. Glory to Jesus. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin." Hallelujah. So it's called nature of sin because it's a part and parcel of the man. Hallelujah. It's a nature that is warring against the will of God. A nature that is fighting and warring against everything good. It's a nature, it's captivity to sin. Glory to Jesus. So Bible now says in Romans 8 verse 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." This is another way of saying what he said at verse 24 of Romans 7. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is, Jesus Christ is the one that has set us free from the body of death, from the law of sin and death, which was in our members. Glory to God. So, but then the point is, you find an emphasis on freedom, liberty, in the New Testament, because remission of sins is freedom and liberty from sin. Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18 also. Remission of sins, forgiveness in Christ Jesus, is freedom and liberty from sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Bible says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Have you seen this? There is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. So the Spirit of God came to give us liberty. Hallelujah. That is what you find in Christ Jesus. Remission of sins is liberty. It came by the Spirit of God. Acts 2 verse 38. "Let every one of you be baptized. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit came to offer us liberty from sin. That's what the Spirit of God came to do. Our offenses or individual sins were not merely pardoned. It came to free us from the motion and the nature of sin itself, from captivity to sin. Glory to God. And the Spirit of God, as mentioned, as used at 2 Corinthians 3:17 here, speaks of the person of Christ. It says, "When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The veil is taken away." Verse 14. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Verse 17. "Now the Lord," which is speaking about Jesus, "now the Lord is the Spirit." The Lord is this Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. There is freedom. There's deliverance. Glory to Jesus. That's why Bible refers to Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. Bible refers to Jesus as a life-giving Spirit, a quickening Spirit. Glory to God. Jesus is referred to as a life-giving Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And what we find in him is liberty. There's an emphasis on liberty in the New Testament because this is the nature and the quality of the forgiveness and remission of sins that we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Liberty, freedom, glory to God. So when I say you are forgiven, what am I saying in essence? I'm saying you are free. Hallelujah. Galatians 2, verse 4. Bible says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Have you seen? It says this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. What do we have in Christ Jesus? Remission of sins, aka liberty. Hallelujah. We've been set free. We've been delivered. We are free in Christ Jesus. We have remission of sins. We have been set at liberty in Christ. Hallelujah. The forgiven man is the man that is at liberty in Christ Jesus. Look at this place. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 21 to 31. Glory to God. Galatians 4, 21 to 31. Bible says, tell me, you would desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman, true promise. Have you seen bondwoman, free woman? Bondage, freedom. Hallelujah. The Old Testament, the New Covenant. Verse 24. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The things that he just mentioned are symbolic. Symbolic of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Praise God. He says, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now East, and is in bondage with her children. You see, bondage. Hallelujah. The Old Testament, bondage. And then he says in verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So you find freedom mentioned again in connection with the new covenant, which is symbolized by Jerusalem, which is above. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Look at verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. But of the free. So he mentions bondage and freedom. What we have in Christ Jesus is freedom. Liberty. Hallelujah. Liberty is what we have in Christ Jesus. And this is forgiveness. And then it continues. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. What we have in Christ Jesus is liberty. Hallelujah. Stand fast in that liberty with which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, the word liberty, freedom, being made free, emphatically used in the New Testament to qualify what we have in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 13 of Galatians 5. Bible says, for you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You've been called to liberty. We have been called unto liberty. Romans chapter 6. Glory to Jesus. Romans in chapter 6. I'll start from verse 1. I'll read 1 to 7. Then we'll read some of the other verses in that particular portion of the New Testament epistle. Romans in chapter 6. Glory to God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So he says we cannot continue in sin because we died to sin. Hallelujah. We died to sin already. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The body of sin has been done away with. Oh yes, the body of sin has been done away with. Glory to God. Cast your mind back to Romans 7 that we read earlier on. You see how the Bible says we have been delivered from the body of death. Romans 7 verse 24, and then at Romans 6 and verse 6, Bible says the body of sin has been done away with, the one and the same. You remember Jesus has delivered us from the law of sin and death, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 2 has delivered us from the law of sin and death. The body of sin and the body of death are one and the same. Glory to God. Now look at verse 6 again. Bible says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. The implication of being delivered from the body of sin, the implication of having our old man crucified with him, is that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You find that word again, freed, delivered, freedom, liberty. We've been set free from sin. Look at verse 18. Glory to God. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Having been set free from sin, you find the word free used again. We've been set free. Look at verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Having been set free from sin, you find the word free used again, because this is the quality of forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, this did not come by pleading for forgiveness. It didn't come by pleading or asking for mercy. It came by sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So you find out that this did not come, forgiveness or freedom or liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, did not come because we were pleading for forgiveness, did not come because we were seeking God to please have mercy on us. It came by way of sacrifice. It came by our faith in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, by his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Now, imagine that at the point of salvation, we weren't asked to plead for forgiveness. At the point of salvation, we weren't required to be pleading for mercy. At the point of salvation, all we ever were required to do was to receive the gospel and believe in what Jesus has done to receive forgiveness of sins, which is remission of sins, which is liberty from sin, which is freedom from sin. Hallelujah. When required to plead for mercy, we only had faith in what was done, in that which has been done. Look at Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 10. Bible says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Have you seen? We were enemies of God. We were ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Have you seen? So we were enemies of God. And in that state of enmity, we were not required to plead for mercy before we'll be forgiven. As enemies of God, we didn't plead for mercy. We didn't plead for forgiveness to receive forgiveness as enemies of God. So now we are friends of God, and we are required to plead every day and be asking God to forgive us, to please have mercy on us. It doesn't add up. Hallelujah. As strangers, we walked in to the family of God solely on the merits of Christ Jesus alone. As strangers, we came into the family of God on the merits of what Jesus has done. We were not required to plead for forgiveness. We came into the family of God on the merits of Christ's sacrifice. Now we are sons of God, and we have to keep pleading for mercy and forgiveness to remain in the family. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. So you say, there's a much more. He says, having been reconciled, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The life of God within us today is a proof that we are the forgiven ones. Hallelujah. We are the forgiven ones. We have received freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Let me close by showing you something in the Old Testament, in the law. Leviticus 16 from verse 14 to 21. Glory to Jesus. Leviticus 16, 14 to 21.
Something very interesting in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, glory be to Jesus, Leviticus 16, 14 to 21, praise God. Bible says, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Verse 16, so he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions. Hallelujah. For all their sins, and so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Verse 19, then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Verse 20, and when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Ladies and gentlemen, what I just read to you is what was done in the Old Testament. This was how sins were atoned for in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Now you and I know that the law was a shadow of the good things to come. Hebrews 10:1, Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, cannot with these same sacrifices which they offered yearly make those who approach thereunto perfect. So we know that the law was a shadow. So that means what was done here was symbolic, was a type of that which was to come. Glory to Jesus. And you see what that communicates to us is that the idea of communicating all the sins of the people upon the sacrifice for sin is the work of the high priest. Hallelujah. It's the work of the high priest. It was the high priest that confessed upon the head of the lamb or on the goat all the sins of the people. Praise God. And you see, that's exactly what we find in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53. That was exactly what God did in Christ. It was God that laid upon Jesus the iniquities of us all. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. Let me read from verse 4. Bible says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, and we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So when John says, behold the Lamb of God, John 1:29, that takes away the sin of the world, those he was speaking to, his immediate audience, who were the Jews, understood this, because this was what was done in the Old Testament as a shadow. Hallelujah. So it's God that has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of the whole world. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Have you seen? So Jesus has taken upon himself the sin of the whole world. What are we meant to do? We are meant to just come and acknowledge that he did it for us. Hallelujah. This was all that was required of us. We were only meant to acknowledge what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. You see, if we had to plead for forgiveness before we were forgiven, then the truth is, it wouldn't be by the grace of God, because that would be us doing something. The forgiveness we received wasn't motivated by anything we did. We were not the ones that psyched God into thinking he had to forgive us. No. That's why the only thing we were required to do was just to receive it. Hallelujah. If God forgave us because we pleaded and we wailed and we begged and we cried and we lobbied for it, it would be that God didn't want to forgive us. We now began to psych him. We now began to plead and beg. Then he looked at us with compassion. Then he began to forgive us. The forgiveness we have is self-motivated. It pleased God to forgive us in Christ Jesus. It was God that provided the lamb. Hallelujah. It was God that provided the lamb. You know that in the Old Testament, men were required to bring the sacrifices. In Christ Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ himself was provided by God. It's the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We did nothing. We didn't provide the sacrifice. We contributed nothing. All we had to do was just to come and believe. Praise God. Was come to receive a finished work. Glory be to God. So forgiveness is a gift of grace because we played no role. We played no part. Ours was only to come to acknowledge that which has been done already. 1 John chapter 5, and I'll close on this. So this is all we were required to do. God had laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. We're only meant to come and acknowledge that what Jesus did, he did for us. 1 John chapter 5, I'll read from verse 9. For if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the testimony of God is so simple. He has given us eternal life. He has given us remission of sins. He has given us freedom from sin. And it is in his Son. What are we meant to do? Just pick it up. Hallelujah. He has given us. We are only meant to pick it up. Glory be to God. The sinner is meant to acknowledge what Jesus has done and receive freely of what he has done. This is how men are forgiven. Hallelujah. This is how men are forgiven. And we saw through this episode that this forgiveness is emphatically taught in the scriptures as freedom and liberty from the power of sin. Do good to tune in on Monday, every day with Jesus, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great weekend of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.